President Ronald Reagan had a way of defining an issue with a single line. Reagan won office declaring, "Government is not the solution to the problem, government is the problem." Later, he challenged Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev by saying, "Tear down this wall." The man known as the Great Communicator went directly to the American people, giving televised speeches that bypassed a skeptical press corps. As we remember his presidency today, an analyst says Reagan did not always communicate the facts. Evan Cornog, the author of a forthcoming book on the stories that presidents tell, says Reagan often oversimplified the issues or brushed them away with a joke.
The best incidence of this comes during his second debate with Walter Mondale in 1984. In the first debate, he'd seemed very disoriented, and after the debate, the Wall Street Journal had run a story questioning whether he was essentially mentally competent to serve a second term. So early on in the second debate, he was asked about this.
Well, let's listen to how he responded. This is Ronald Reagan from 1984.
I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
And he got the big laugh. There was no follow-up question. And he disposed of a question which we know in retrospect to have been a quite valid one.
I have a quote here from Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. All the waste in a year from a nuclear power plant can be stored under a desk. In making simple and dramatic political statements, did Ronald Reagan get things wrong?
Oh, he got things wrong all the time. His biographer, Lou Cannon, once said that he was a man who thought of the world in terms of anecdotes and narratives. And Reagan would sort of get something like this lodged in his head and would repeat them again and again. And aides would try to say, you know, actually, that's not true, sir. But it was very hard to get him off of those kinds of things. And what we found out was that people didn't really seem to care. That was part of his strength, that he didn't pretend to be a great intellectual. He didn't pretend to be the best briefed president in the world. His case for himself was that he understood a few simple things and getting those simple ideas across and avoiding the more complex ideas that he had trouble with.
There's a famous anecdote that Reagan told about a welfare mother driving a Cadillac.
Right. Or taking a $100 food stamp and buying an orange and spending the rest of the money on vodka. You know, these kinds of things. And, I mean, if you look at the issues surrounding, you know, wealth and poverty in the United States, that anecdote would seem a rather inadequate way to try to encompass a huge range of very serious problems. But that is the way his mind worked. And that was something that it seems that a lot of the American people didn't have a problem with, ultimately.
Well, it seems that the critical question might be a distinction here. Was Ronald Reagan simply misspeaking from time to time because that's the way he spoke and he was a real person and we would all misspeak in that situation? Or was Ronald Reagan deceiving people from time to time?
Well, I think, you know, to be as fair as possible to Ronald Reagan on this point, and there's often the suspicion that when a politician's lips are moving, he is deceiving people. But I think one of the reasons for his success is that even when he was deceiving people, he was also deceiving himself. And I think the most famous example of this arises in his speech in 1987, in which he essentially takes responsibility for the arms for hostages deal with Iran.
Well, let's listen to that. This is Ronald Reagan from March of 1987, speaking on national television.
A few months ago, I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, but the facts and the evidence tell me it is not.
2 years later, in a book that came out in 89, he goes into this again and says, I did not see it as trading arms for hostages because we were dealing with Iranian intermediaries, not the kidnappers themselves. I know it may be a fine line to most people, but it's what I believed then and what I still believe. And I think that that's a real power. I mean, you remember that Reagan comes to office after the years of Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, and Jimmy Carter, also Gerald Ford in there. But by and large, it's a period of presidents who Americans felt either didn't say what they believed, didn't believe anything, or didn't know what to believe. And so all of a sudden, here was a man who knew what to believe and said what he believed. Now, the fact that that was occasionally wrong didn't seem to matter as much as the fact that he was saying what he believed.
Mr. Cornog, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Evan Cornog is the publisher of the Columbia Journalism Review and author of the forthcoming book about presidential narratives, the stories they tell. It's called The Power and the Story.